Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Have you ever been caught off guard by someone's kindness? I think in our world, those encounters are growing fewer and fewer. But I would like to tell you that, at least from the text that you'll hear today, at least in this room and those that call in the name of Jesus, those encounters should become more frequent. They're often so unexpected, undeserved, and they can leave you speechless. Maybe it was a note that you didn't expect, a debt forgiven, a friend showed up when no one else was there. There's something powerful about love that stoops low. It unsettles our pride. It rewrites our expectations, and if we're willing, it reshapes how we see ourselves and everyone around us. Today, we step into one of those moments where love doesn't shout or shine, but kneels quietly and does what no one else is willing to do, and it just might change everything. The title of my sermon today is called Dirty Feet. I don't have a basin or a towel. I don't plan on washing anyone's feet, so don't be like, oh, don't you do it. I'm not. Before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, your word demonstrates who you are. And today's text shows us how far God, part of the Trinity, Jesus, is willing to go to show his love, care, and concern for us. And so, Lord, regardless of how difficult it is for us to receive that love, that kindness, that humility, and that example from the one that we look to as Lord, I pray that you would reshape the way we see not only you, but how we see ourselves. And so, Lord, would you speak in your word and through your word today? Let us have ears and hearts ready to hear it and receive it. We love you, Lord. Amen. So let me set the stage for this. For those that are reading along in the one-year Bible, you just experience this. But basically, at least as far as the Gospel of John is concerned, chapters 1 through 12 is Jesus' public ministry. It is what he did in the public, the miracles that he did, the teachings that he did. And in 13 on, it transitions into his private ministry where he spends one-on-one time with his disciples. And we find ourselves in this at Jerusalem during the Last Supper. He's a day away. Most likely, this is the Thursday night before the Friday crucifixion. And the next couple of chapters, which if you've never spent much time in John, I encourage you to just open it up and just get into 14, 15, 16, and 17. These were his last words to his disciples, the ones that got this party started. And before he does any of that, he does what we're going to read on today. Before he went to the cross, before he forgave the world's sin because of his sacrifice, he demonstrated something in these texts that's unheard of. And it's not for us. If you've been around church a long time, you're like, yes, of course, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And we have to understand the significance of that, because to us, we're like, of course, Jesus would do that. In his culture, no self-respecting rabbi would ever do what Jesus did. And Jesus wasn't like any other rabbi. So we're going to pick this up in verse 1, chapter 13. It says, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. One thing that we have to understand when we're reading this text, when we're hearing the words of Jesus, nothing surprised him. Nothing happened to him because he was out of control. Everything that Jesus, every encounter he had, every appointment, even though it didn't look like an appointment, every appointment he had with someone, he intended. And it says here, when Jesus knew that the hour had come, over and over again before this, other people were trying to kill Jesus or make him king, and over again, he was like, it is not my time. And this opens the window to where he was going to allow himself to do exactly what the Father had intended from the beginning. Jesus was not a victim of his circumstance. He was in full control. Christ's likeness, love, is not reactive but proactive, even in hardship, even on the eve of the cross. He was being intentional. He had lessons to teach his disciples, and these last few hours were so important. If you knew, like right now, if you knew the day that you were going to leave this world, could you imagine what that last 24 hours would look like? Could you imagine the conversations, the forgiveness that you would willingly give, the confession that you would have, the relationships you would try to mend, and the knowledge that you would maybe have for your children or grandchildren that you want to make sure that they know about him and what they know about your love for them? And Jesus knew that, and he framed all of this conversation, all of this action with that knowledge. So during supper, when the devil had already, and this is an important fact, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from the Father and was going back. That's right, Jesus knew that what Judas was about to do. He wasn't caught off guard. Judas didn't be like, ha, I snuck this in, I've ruined it. He knew from the beginning that Judas was Judas. And I want you to think about this as we read the rest of this. He washed Judas's feet, knowing. And later on, Jesus is going to tell his disciples in this conversation after this, it's like, one of you is going to betray me. And they weren't like, oh yeah, did you see? He didn't really clean Judas's feet very well. It's definitely that guy. No, Jesus knew who Judas was, and Jesus loved Judas the same as every single other disciple. See, Jesus, also in verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, knowing your identity matters, knowing who you are in Christ matters, because if you don't know, you'll let other people define you. You'll let other people's words control you because you think, oh, maybe this is who I am. Jesus, there was none of that. He knew exactly what he was doing. He only did what the Father asked him to do. He only spoke what he heard the Father saying. He only did the miracles that the Father had called him to. And he knew exactly who he was and where he was going. Verse 4. So he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. And then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. We do everything pretty fast. I don't know why this is. We have this kind of mentality. Maybe it's the American culture, but everything's better if it's quicker. Like we've got to rush through things. And I imagine Jesus took this really slow. I imagine as he began to take off his outer garment, they're like, what is he doing? And imagine him getting the water in this bowl and filling it up, and they're like, what is he doing? And I imagine him putting on this towel and beginning to bend down in front of the first disciple, and they're like, what in the world is going on? He said he began. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to teach you about this. He just did it. He didn't even lay any groundwork with words of what's going to happen. He'll talk through this in a second. And he begins to wash their feet. And could you imagine the other 11 watching this first one going, this is weird. I've been in ministry for 22 years. I've preached on this text before, and I have washed a fair amount of feet, literally. And it's always weird. It is always, there is no way, it is not weird when you put, especially when they don't know, and they came full on, and I was a youth pastor for 9 years, so like I did it with youth, and like full on sweaty, dirty high school boy feet. And it's never like this magical, rosy, like, ha, ah, no. And it wasn't then either. You know, if you imagine first century disciples who walked around in sandals on dirt road with animal droppings, like high school boy sweaty feet has nothing on that. I kind of wish, this just popped into my head, I bet the first person was grateful that he was the first one, because I can imagine that water. Good. That's just for free. That's just where my brain goes. So he poured the water into the basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. See, foot washing was degrading. It would be done by the lowest of servants. Like even in the servant hierarchy, the higher of the servants wouldn't have to do this. This act was a parable in action. Jesus was teaching with what he did. And the thing that we have to realize in our own lives, if your mouth isn't saying stuff that you want people to believe or understand, your actions are. You're like, well, I'm not. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Well, people are watching you. They're looking to you for these things. And they're, you know, I've always heard this. You teach what you know, but you reproduce who you are. Your children will not be Christ lovers because you tell them they should be. They will model after you, your actions. And that's what Jesus was doing. This was a parable in action. He was revealing his love, his humility, and the reality of spiritual cleansing. Leadership in the kingdom means laying aside rights and lifting others. Verse 6. I love Simon Peter. Like, I love this man. Verse 6, I don't know how many people it got. And Simon's thinking to himself, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? This is, I can't. And finally it comes to him, verse 6. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? He'd be like, that's kind of what happens, buddy. Like, I'm going down the line. You're next. And then Jesus tells him, and Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. See, God's dealings often confuse us in the moment. And if you want 100% clarity of what God is doing in every moment of your life so that you can feel good about it, you are in the wrong faith. Because clearly, we see right here, they had no idea what was going on, but he's telling them, just be patient, you'll understand. See, but their wisdom and love is seen afterward. Jesus is essentially telling Peter, trust me, even when you don't get it. See, afterwards, not only, because he's going to explain it a little bit, afterward not only is for after this foot washing that they'll get the parable, they'll get the understanding, the teaching that Jesus was trying to give them, but this is also for post-resurrection. This is also for what's going to happen in the next 4 days. The disciples would later see this act in light of the cross where Jesus stood on the ultimate form of servanthood, that he gave himself for us. And then Peter said to him, strong-willed. See, Jesus wants you strong-willed, hard-headed people. And if I made eye contact with you, I'm just looking around, okay? Like sometimes people are like, oh, hard, he said hard-headed right when he looked at me. Okay. Come see me afterwards. That's probably the Holy Spirit, not me. And so Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Let me just tell you, if Jesus says he's going to do something for you, let him do it. Let him do it. Don't tell him, no, you ain't going to do it. And Jesus said to him, I love it. Peter's like, I'm sure those other people, they're not as mature and humble as I am. So I'm going to say, this is not right, and I'm not going to do it. But Jesus takes that and he goes to the next level. He said, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. If I don't wash you, you're out. And Peter's like, and I love this man. See, Peter's reaction reflects the traditional Jewish honor-shame culture. He views Jesus' act as shameful for a master to do. He's clueless to what's going on. See, Peter misunderstood Christ's purpose, as many do, thinking that service is weakness. See, in their shame honor culture, those at the top did very little of the lowly stuff. So it didn't look like, man, the leader was the person up top saying, do this, clean that. They weren't the ones getting in the mix. Then verse 9, Simon, he's like, all right, if you're going to cut me out, I'm going to go. So Jesus went here, and Peter's like, I'm going to go here. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Like, you better, like, I don't want just a little bit. I want you to clean me. And Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean as you are clean. Not every one of you is clean. So he's talking on so many levels. If you just look at that, the reality is, yes, if you took a shower, but you walked around in sandals on dirt roads, you would be clean, your feet would be dirty. The reality is us as believers, we have been cleansed by Jesus. We have been justified. If you've said yes to Jesus and you're his son or daughter, you are righteous in his eyes. But you live in a fallen world in a sin-filled body. And let me just tell you, so we're all clear, no one in here stops sinning. No one. Now, some of us sin less, but no one has perfected it. So we're in this world and our feet gets dirty. There are things that we still need to have cleansed over and over again. Things that, which is good, and part of my point at the end of this, is Jesus is not afraid to get in your mess. He's not afraid to clean what gets dirty, and he wants to point out that we should humbly be asking for this over and over again. See, this distinction between washed, justified, and needing foot washing, daily sanctification, becoming like Christ, is critical. We need continual cleansing and humility to receive it. Some of us in this room are trapped in the cycle of sin because we think to ourselves, I got this. I can fix this. I don't need, I don't want to bother Jesus. And Jesus is on the floor with the basin and the towel going, let me clean it. But we have to be humble, like the disciples, willing to allow the Savior to cleanse what we cannot. Verse 11. Let me go into this. This last statement at the end of 10, he says, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And then he makes this statement. He says, and you are clean, but not every one of you. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Because we are ritualistically clean, which is what Judas was, he had been cleansed in a sense. And this is why I say this. This water doesn't save us. Because you could get in this water and get out of the water and be baptized and everybody cheer for you, and we miss it. Now, I've shared my story in here a lot. I got sprinkled when I was 16 because I thought I was going to die, and if you want to go to heaven, you got to do this. Like, if somebody took that clip out of there, they would be like, oh, he's preaching heresy. I'm not. But that's the way I thought, and so I made sure that I got in. But 2 years later, I actually met Jesus as my Lord and Savior, not just as information, not like Judas was falling around Jesus and probably believed to some extent who Jesus was, but he missed the truth of who he was. Even after he betrayed him, he said, I betrayed an innocent man. He didn't say I betrayed the Messiah. There's a big difference between being a good teacher and an innocent man than it is being God incarnate, put on flesh for us. See, Jesus was talking about Judas, showing that ritual cleansing does not equal righteousness. So we need to examine ourselves because appearances can be deceiving. we can fool ourselves. And part of, I think, the call to ministry that God's placed on me at Reach is this reality, is that some of you, like me, spend a lot of time in and around church, but miss Jesus. Not miss knowing who he was, but knowing Jesus, which is a big difference. Your information and your knowledge of who Christ is will not get you in the door. Your trust and faith in the reality of knowing Jesus personally as your Savior, that's what our entry is gained by, not information. I knew information. I knew who Jesus was. I knew he died on the cross to pay the penalty for his sins, but I had not made that translation from knowledge to here. They say that this is the longest distance in the world from your head to your heart. And I missed it. Jesus was very interested in people not missing it. That's why he puts things in here like this, because they looked at Judas going, he's one of us. He'll be there to the end. He's part of this. And Jesus knew that he wasn't. Verse 12. And when he had washed their feet, he put on his outer garments and resumed his place, the place of honor. And he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, which is a big deal. Like, you know, to say teacher in our cultures is not, you know, we should hold them in high regard. But in their culture, saying teacher, that was a big deal. Teacher and Lord, even bigger deal. And then he says, and you're right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blameless are you who do them. See, Jesus assumes the role of servant not just for an object lesson, but as a model to copy. Jesus was washing feet for them so they can understand that if I am willing to go low, then you are willing and should do likewise. You should act in relationship to the one that you call teacher and Lord, because literally, in their cultures, if a rabbi had a disciple, that disciple would be looking at everything the rabbi did and wanting to emulate that, the way they spoke, the way they taught, the what they dressed, how they acted, how they would respond. They held so high the reality that this is their teacher and they wanted to be just like him that they would copy everything that he did. And he's saying, if that is true, if I am your teacher and Lord, then you better do what you see me doing. See, disciples follow the rabbi not just in word, but in deed. They were expected to copy his life to a letter, that knowing one, later on, knowing the other, you would think they're the same person. They act the same. See, the pattern of Christ must be lived out in the Christian community. Service flows from love. We, and I will group us in, Reach here specifically, we should be, church in general, but Reach also, we should be the best example of humanity in our world. We should be, you know, later on in this same chapter, I think, or right after this, he says, this new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. And he tells them, you will be known by how you love. They'll know that you're my disciple by how you love. And Jesus, it's easy to love the people that are easy to love. Jesus shows us that it's not just loving those that are good to us, because he loved Judas so well that a little bit later, they had no idea that it was Judas. I mean, could you imagine the reality if you have someone that you know is just plotting your demise, literally? Could you imagine loving them so well that they had no idea that you knew that what they were doing? And he was willing to clean his feet also. See, foot washing symbolize ongoing spiritual care among believers. We should be willing to allow our dirty feet to be known by someone. The most dangerous thing that I think that we can do as believers is withhold the areas that we're struggling in from everyone. And we present ourselves as we're good. I have no issues. The truth is, I have issues. Me, you have issues. And if no one knows what those issues are, you're in trouble. Because sin will never be satisfied with a little bit of you. It will always take more. It will always take you to places you don't want to go. It'll always rob from you over and over again. You don't get this agreement that this is the last. This is all you're going to get. It's not satisfied. It wants more. And you have to have people in your life that are aware of those things. Because you need people. And this is what he tells his disciples. I clean feet, you clean feet. And I don't think that literally means it could. But I think that is more dealing with how do we help each other process what's going on. This crud that we pick up on ourselves living in this world. Do we have people that we help get through that process? Verse 18, I'm not speaking of all of you. I know who I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. He's quoting Psalms 41. And I'm letting you know this before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one who I sent receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. See, Jesus was telling them all this, quoting Old Testament. Remember, anytime Jesus is quoting the Old Testament, like, we're clueless. Like, when he says, if you didn't look it up, when he says, he who ate this bread with me has lifted up his heel against me, we'd be like, oh, that's a cool statement. See, Jesus was teaching them from things that they grew up knowing. From the Word of God, he's telling them, not only is he reminding them, but he's telling them, look, this is told from way before now. So we have this thing, Jesus is making the connection to it before it happened, so that afterwards, it wasn't like, if something happens to you, and then afterwards you were like, it was that guy the whole time. Like, what credibility is that to you? But if you say beforehand, one of you is going to raise his heel against me, and then it happens, Jesus is doing all those things so they understand who they're following. See, Christ's knowledge of the betrayal proves his divinity. It was not a surprise, but a fulfillment of prophecy. The conclusion of this warning was to strengthen the faith of his disciples when the betrayal came. I'm sure they were angry, but they would remember, man, he knew. Like, I remember spending so much time of my early life pre-Jesus, and even early after I started following Jesus, I was just angry all the time that Jesus got tricked into going to the cross, that all these mean people crucified him. And I'm not withdrawing the accountability for what they did, but they didn't do anything to Jesus that he didn't purpose. He said this to Pilate. He says, you have no authority to do to me anything but what the Father has already decided. Don't let betrayal break your faith. Jesus experienced it too. You may not know the betrayal is happening, but I want to encourage you to trust in his sovereign goodness. God is good. And life is hard. And we need to make sure that we remind ourselves when life is hard that God is still good. We need to remind ourselves that he's not done writing this story out, and we need to trust what he's doing. Trust that he loves us. And most of us in this room have this reality when we look back on our history that we were unaware of what God was doing, and it was rough and it was hard, and we get on the other side of it and we can see God's hand in it. And most of my life is filled with those moments of lack of faith, lack of belief, where something hard happens. Could you imagine? And this is something I'm literally trying to work on right now, because, I mean, y'all are aware, for those that have been here long enough, you know, I have this Chicken Little issue. You know, Chicken Little was the one that, you know, the sky's falling. All of that is a lack of trust in God's sovereignty. All of that is a lack of faith in a God who loves you, who declares his love for you and what he did for you. And what he's asking for us to do is to just trust him. And it's easy to trust him. If life is good right now, you're like, amen, amen, brother. Like, this is, yes. But tomorrow when you lose a job, tomorrow when you get a diagnosis, tomorrow when something happens to one of your kids, tomorrow when some, moron runs into you, literally with a car, into your car. Like, learning to praise God, knowing that what's happening to me right now, if you're a child of his, Romans 8:28 says, all things happen for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I don't mean that it's going to be good, like you're going to get, like I'm going to get $1 billion because of this. I just mean that what's happening, God is going to use for your good and for his glory. Don't let betrayal ruin that. So here's a couple things, two things actually, that I want us to land on. One is Jesus isn't put off by your ongoing need for foot cleaning. He isn't. He isn't surprised by it. He isn't like, I mean, it would be like a parent being surprised by a dirty diaper. They're like, oh man, they pooped in their diaper again. Like, how did this happen? It happened because there was a diaper on them. I mean, how else are you going to go to the bathroom if this thing is connected? Like, you're going to go in it. And we would, I mean, like when they're real little, like those poops are kind of exciting. And don't get me wrong, but it's like, everything's cute. I mean, it doesn't stay that way. It gets real old real fast. But it's the same thing. Like, for us, he's not surprised by your mess. And but could you imagine just going on with this illustration? Could you imagine as a child going, I'm not going to let them know that I've pooped my pants. Now, they'll know. It's just like God, like, he isn't, like, oh, my, oh, like, like, no, no, I haven't gone to the bathroom. I don't want you to change me. I mean, there's so many implications to this. Sin is the same way. You sit in that poop for too long, it causes problem. People make money off diaper rash for a reason. There's this ointment because you let that sit there. And it's the same thing with us. God's saying, hey, just let me fix this mess that you've created. And he's not angry about it, because the more you come to him, the more you receive his mercy, the more you see his hand over and over again, the quicker you do it, and the quicker you do it, the less issue you're going to have. Because that one thing will cause other issues. Same thing with a diaper. If you leave it in there for too long, it will cause issues. Jesus wants us, even this morning, I just encourage you, like, if you feel a twinge of conviction because of something going on in your life, God is here and wants to meet you in it. And he wants to give you, he wants to cleanse you from it. Don't hide from him. Like Jesus got on the floor in front of his disciples and cleaned their dirty feet to show them and us that he will lower himself for you. I'm going to invite our worship team, and I'll tell you my next one. So what do you do with a savior who kneels? You can't admire him from a distance. Jesus doesn't want that. He's not interested in that. He's not interested in you knowing about him and staying far from him. He's interested in proximity. He gets too close. You can't earn his favor because he's already poured it out. The only response to this kind of love is surrender. To let him wash the parts of you you'd rather keep hidden. They're not hidden from him. They may be hidden from those around you, and really, they're not. If those around you were smart enough to see, because sin causes issue with us, and for me, let me just let you know. Well, this is everyone. I'll just go ahead and say this. Everyone in this room, when you get a bad attitude or you get angry, sin is real close. Because if you were close to Jesus, I mean, there's righteous anger. Don't get me wrong, all righteous anger. But most of the anger, you know, it doesn't produce the righteousness of men. And when I get an attitude or when I'm snippy, sin is there. Surrender's the only option. It's not hidden from Him. To stop competing for greatness and start walking in humility, to pick up the towel and follow Him. And that's the second thing. Like, you have to have this cycle. I think both of these things have to be present in the disciple's life. You have to be willing to continually go to Christ for your feet to be cleaned. But then you have to do the same thing for others. He's cleaning His feet, humbling Himself for you, for your mess that you created, and He's still willing to intervene with that. He's still willing to clean Judas's feet, and He's calling us to do the same thing. Could you imagine if we lived with the same mercy that we're receiving for Christ, from Christ, that we gave out to others? Not in belief, but in practice. Not just picking up that towel in an understanding, but in practice. Maybe for you, that starts with letting Jesus serve you, letting Him forgive and cleanse you to lead your life. Or maybe it means serving someone you've avoided, loving someone who's difficult. And most people that aren't you are difficult to some extent, right? Right? Everybody's like, I'm sitting beside somebody. I am not. I don't know what he's talking about. Love.
Liar.
He's not talking about you, babe. Forgiving someone who doesn't deserve it. The towel is still in His hands. And today He invites you just to be cleansed. Not just to be cleansed, to become like Him. And the question is, will you let Him? Will you let Him now in this moment deal with those things that you're hiding, that you're unwilling to deal with, so that He can cleanse you, so that then out of that cleansing He can use you? Because if we don't get cleansed, if we don't deal with that part of us, we won't do this second part very well. Because we'll be like, that's too far. I'm not getting on my hands and knees to clean your feet, because you can pull out the list. We want God to do something in us. If you'll stand up, I'm going to bless you, and then we're going to pray. Lord, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we don't want to leave this room carrying, stained, those things that we've been unwilling to deal with. Maybe it's lies that have been told. Maybe it's actions. Maybe it's things that we've seen. Maybe it's a lifestyle that's just been not only hurting me, but hurting others. And Lord, I just pray in this moment, during this time right now, that You would call us into that grace and into that mercy and into that place that we can know You in a full way. Lord, would You give us the view of that? Lord, the cross to us is You with a basin and a towel. The cross is You humbling Yourself so that we could have what we don't deserve. And so, Lord, for those in this room that are already Your children, that are just struggling with things, Lord, would You remind them, I'm Your Father who leads and forgives and cleanses. And Lord, would we begin a pattern of coming to You day by day, hour by hour. And Lord, for those in this room that maybe have not trusted You for that, Lord, I pray that they would get the picture of You on the ground, willing to clean their feet, willing to clean Judas. Because if You will clean Judas's feet, You will clean any sinner's feet in this room. You will cleanse them. And so, Lord, I pray that You would whisper that love and affection. Come to me, son and daughter. Know me and be known by me. And Lord, for both of those, Lord, would you help us after that fact learn to humble ourselves and to cleanse other people? Lord, would you help us be the foot washers of our culture, of our families, and our cities? Lord, we love you and we ask you to bless us so that we could be a blessing. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.